Looking ahead, Ryan and JB could see that the corridor was clear at present, but about 100 yards ahead of the sector was a sharp bend that presented them with a blind spot. The door was about 20 yards distant, giving them a total of about 120 yards between themselves and any enemy sighting. It wasn't a lot of distance, and it didn't buy them a lot of time. Ryan and JB swung out from their cover in unison, JB clutching the M4000 and Ryan holding the Steyr SSG-70. They would provide covering fire if necessary, as the others moved around them and into the empty rooms. Jack and Dean provided cover while Ryan and JB moved forward to join them. The unseen enemy force was stealthy and was gaining ground. The first group tentatively rounded the bend, risking the blind corner. When they saw the companions, one of them opened fire. JB raised the M4000 and fired into the middle of the group of three.
Shit!
They were moving low, trying to present as small a target as possible. Two of them had Heckler & Koch G12 caseless rifles. The woman in the group was carrying a 12-gauge, double-barreled Purdy shotgun.
Damn, what a beauty!
The air was filled with the heat and smell of JB's scattergun charge, and the load of barbed metal flechettes found its target with ease, spreading out over the 100 or so yards to the target. The three approaching people were hit by hot barbed metal that tore into exposed flesh and ripped through the motley collection of clothing they wore. The man in the center took the majority of the charge. The force of the impact threw him backward, the H&K flying away from him. The woman threw up her arms to protect her face, the Purdy raised above her head as she did so. Flechettes bit into her exposed chest and stomach, her thin shirt and undershirt providing no protection as they were shredded to ribbons by the hot metal. She crumpled, gasping for breath, in lungs that had been lacerated by the barbs, unable to draw any air into her shattered ribcage.
Oh, fucker!
The man on the far side was slightly quicker. He managed to loose off one shot from the H&K. The bullet hit the ceiling above JB's head, dislodging chips of concrete, making the armorer duck as the concrete dust rained down.
Ah, fuck!
JB's third round of flechettes found their new target. The searing metal ripped into the man's flesh, severing tendons and causing him to drop the H&K and stumble in agony into the wall. Sliding down, he used his free arm to try to staunch the flow of blood from his shattered arm and shoulder.
Oh God!
JB pulled back into the cover of the dorm as the next wave followed. The enemy had dropped lower, using their fallen comrades as cover, loosing off shots that were intended to drive JB back rather than hit him. Ryan squinted ahead, trying to count the number of opposition. Three were down, and four had come into play behind them. He caught the glimpse of movement from an angle and felt sure there were at least two more in reserve. They'd been outnumbered to begin with. JB's opening volley had leveled the field a little, but the number of people lurking around the corner was still unknown. With all that and ammunition running low, there was only one move that Ryan could see as viable at this point. He turned to Jack and Christy.
I'm gonna try and close the sector.
We'll cover you, but what about the others? We can't tell them without letting those bastards out there know what we're doing.
Just cover me. JB will soon pick up on it.
Ryan shouldered the Steyr and unleathered the Sig Sauer.
Okay, Ryan?
Just cover me, Jack.
Across the hall, through the open door of the dorms, Ryan could see JB and Dean. He gestured with his blaster, and the armorer gave him the briefest nod. In the corridor, all was quiet. Uncannily so, given that there were 7 people in the 2 side rooms, and at least 9 people at the bend of the tunnel. Ryan, standing where he could be seen from the opposing door, indicated with a slight nod that he was about to leave the shower room. JB and Jack swung into place at the edge of the door, and on a mental count of 3, both men swung out and lay down covering fire. The one-eyed man darted from the doorway, under Jack, and headed for the sector panel. The sudden movement caught the opposition off guard. There was a second of silence before the opening fire was returned. The enemy was torn between firing at Jack and JB, or trying to pick Ryan off as he moved rapidly along the wall. He had 20 yards to make, and only a couple of seconds in which to do it.
Damn it! He's going for the door! Concentrate on one eye! Try to take out the panel!
Suddenly, Ryan found that the only threat he faced was that of ricochets and flying concrete chips, as the fire from the enemy became concentrated solely on taking out the panel on the other side of the sector.
Fire blast!
The closed door would put the opposition at a disadvantage, and the best way to stop the door closing at that distance was to try to disable the mechanism rather than chill him. If the panel on the other side was shot up, then the door's closing mechanism would jam. By this time, Ryan had reached the panel and was tapping in the set code, hoping that his luck would hold and that some sharpshooter on the opposing side wouldn't get lucky. JB and Jack were doing their best to lay down cover, preventing the opposing marksman from taking aim. Sweat dripped down Carter's forehead.
Work, dammit, work!
The door began to move sluggishly into action, moving from its housing in the wall.
Go, you bastard, go!
Ryan flattened himself against the wall, sheltered from any real danger by the pillar housing the control panel. He had the Sig Sauer leveled, ready to blast anyone foolish enough to try to spring into action before the door closed. He just hoped it would close fully, otherwise it would leave a gap someone could fire through and would make it difficult for him to retreat back to cover. Jack and JB ceased firing, unwilling to waste any more ammo than necessary. The opposition obviously felt the same, as their blaster fire decreased as well. The door creaked the last few inches and came to rest on the wall, effectively sealing them off from their enemy. Tentatively, the companions emerged from the two rooms to join Ryan, who was now standing before the door, able at last to relax the muscles that ached with the tension of battle.
So what now?
Now that is the question, is it not? I believe we are in what is commonly referred to as stalemate.
What?
My dear boy, it is something that comes from a time before this. Once, when men could afford to take time out from the affairs of the world, there was a game of skill and tactics called chess. The object, as in all games, was for one of the competitors to win. But, and here is indeed the rub, if both players were equally matched, then often the game would end with neither in a position to win.
Sorry, Doc, but I don't see what that's got to do with a stalemate. Can someone else help me on this?
The old game survived some. Mother Sonia and Uncle Tyus McCann would play for days back in Harmony. You see, Dean, to get in a winning position was called mate. To win the game would be checkmate. But to be stuck in a position where it was impossible for either player to win would be stalemate. Isn't that right, Mildred?
Yeah, that's it, Christy.
And that's just where we are, Dean. Fucking stuck.
The elder Carter took a step back and surveyed the sector. There was nothing else they could do now except wait. If their enemies on the other side wanted to attack them, they'd have to operate the door and give the companions the opportunity to pick them off as the door opened. But the companions themselves could not go forward without risking the same. Their only option would be to retreat to the Matrans.